One thing on my mind that I'll try to communicate a little bit, and maybe I don't know, see where it leads, but maybe some of you guys can share some thoughts about it as well. It has to do with the will of God and what it means to, or how it feels to, or why, I guess maybe you could say, it's so important for us to stay in the will of God at all times and not depart from it. Was thinking this morning, just about all goodness, and there's three verses I've talked about them before, I think, in this meeting. But there's three verses. Whenever I think about like goodness these days, I've been impacted in some of these things by some of William Law's writings, and I feel entirely convinced, not just by his writings, but by scripture as well, that all goodness is found in God. And that sounds like a really obvious statement. I think everyone would just believe that without ever thinking about it. But the implications of understanding or being conscious of the fact that all goodness is found in God. Like everybody probably believes that believes in God, but I would say that almost nobody truly, on an hour by hour, minute by minute basis, manifests a real belief in that reality. In fact, I think that a great deal of what we do as human beings is a demonstration that we don't really believe that all goodness is found in God. The three verses, when I think about this, the three verses that immediately pop into my head are, the one is where the guy comes up to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher." And Jesus stops him and says, "Why do you call me good? What do you understand about good?" Of course, he was good, but this person, like us, had his own understanding of good, his own definitions of good, and probably right after he called Jesus good, was going to call something else good, someone else good, and had called someone else good or something else good before he even talked to Jesus that day. And so Jesus kind of stops him in his loose usage of the word good and says, "Why do you call me good? Do you even understand what good is?" And then he says, "There is none good but God." In other words, like there's no other life or source or experience of goodness than God. And when he says goodness or good, I don't want that to be an abstract concept for you. I want you to just think, this isn't like a philosophical thing. Not, I mean, not in, not like a heady thing, I guess, is what I mean. Good, but when you think of goodness, think of just everything that's not badness. Think of everything that has any resemblance of what you know to be good in it: righteousness, truth, humility, love, wisdom, true joy, patience, all the fruits of the Spirit of God, kindness, selflessness, beauty, everything that's good. There's only one place that it comes from, and that is the substance of it, and that is God. God did not create things that were able to produce their own goodness or make a goodness apart from God. That doesn't really, I know maybe that sounds a little bit abstract, but if you think about it a little bit, meditate on that a little bit, you realize that That's just not true. He didn't make things that could produce a goodness apart from him. He created things that could receive and experience and manifest his goodness. If there was goodness apart from him, then he wouldn't be all goodness. He wouldn't be God. He couldn't be God. If there was something else that could produce goodness in this world that was not his and it wasn't him. But what God did do is he created things and humans and angels, I think, more than anything else, to be able to receive and experience and express and enjoy his goodness. And the more I've thought about that, the more that that has sunk into my heart in the last number of years, the more that that has changed so much about what I think about like life and about what living today is all about. I know it can, if you just kind of think of it as an abstract concept, it maybe doesn't affect anything, but I'm going to try to bring it down into the moment by moment reality of each of our lives. That's kind of the way I was feeling it this morning. Again, goodness, that which is good and right and true and just and holy and pure and clean and alive and loving and gentle and humble and all of that, all of it, the whole thing is God. And there's nothing that can be those things separately from God, but everything can that was created by God has a capacity, some very, very small and some much greater, but has a capacity to receive that goodness and experience that goodness. And so the other verses I think about is where James says, every good and perfect gift descends from above, comes down from the Father of lights. It doesn't start below. And this is also why man can't worship God apart from the Spirit of God. I'm not talking about that today, but that's why Cain can't bring his own offering from the cursed earth. That's why man can't bring something to God that is good that didn't come from God and isn't the increase of what God gives. There's a lot of implications to this that can go into worship and that can go into a lot of different areas. And I'm not really trying to go there right now. But I want you to understand too that like real worship is giving back to God the reflection and the increase and the spreading and the displaying of his own goodness working in and through creation. That's really what like the flowers are the goodness of the sun, so to speak. They take in what the sun gives and display it right back. And they couldn't do it without the sun. There would be no power, no life, no energy, nothing. And so they take it and they display it, and that is the glory of an earthly sun, is that which is received and demonstrated. And it's the exact same way with God. He's the only source of goodness. Ours is a borrowed goodness or a reflected goodness or a participating goodness. And in some ways, we manifest that goodness in all kinds of new and different ways. That's kind of what we're created for. Not only manifest it, we enjoy it too. That's which is so kind of the Lord to give us hearts that not only can receive it, but can enjoy it and can display it. Another verse is one where John the Baptist in the end of chapter 3, John chapter 3 says, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Those three verses for me like settle the issue. And there's other ones too. I mean, I can think of several actually right now, one in Isaiah and some other ones, but that demonstrate that creation wasn't made by God. And I'm kind of saying these things a couple of times so that they maybe sink in a little bit, because sinking in my heart has really helped me a lot. That creation was not made of God to produce a goodness separate from God, but it was made of God to receive the goodness and to reflect the goodness in a whole bunch of different ways and different amounts, to receive the only source and reality of goodness, which is God himself manifesting himself in the creation. Now, God's will, and this, if you can see this, this will not only tell you who God is and what God is, but it will dry up a whole lot of lies in your own hearts about so many different things. It just takes the water, it just like sucks the life right out of these lies in your heart. When you understand that God's will, or you could say God's nature, is the communication of goodness. That's what he is. He is goodness, and his will is to give goodness. That's what he always does. That's what he's always doing. That's what he did in the creation. That's what he does in the redemption. That's what he's going to do forever. That's what God is. Now, there is a thing called wrath and darkness and death and suffering and pain, but all of that doesn't stream out of God any more than darkness streams out of the sun. Darkness and wrath and vexation and trials and pain come from the creature, the created thing, turning away from the streams of goodness and making for itself a different relationship with that God who is a will to all goodness. Does that make sense? Wrath is very real, but wrath is when the creature, the created person, changes its state from a recipient of goodness to a rejecter of goodness. You see? That's what wrath comes from. It comes from man rejecting goodness because of sin. And what is sin? Sin is turning away from goodness to live in a self-will, to live in own will, self-life. That's what sin is. Sin isn't just a list of bad things that people do. Sin is when something in creation tries to live without receiving and living in that which is the goodness that's streaming from God. Now, if you think about God that way and you understand that not only is he all goodness and light and life and truth and wisdom and humility and power and everything that is good, the sum of all goodness, but that his nature is a streaming forth of his goodness, as the sun never streams forth anything but light and life and heat, then you understand that God is love, because that's what love is. The nature of love, you could say maybe, is goodness itself. And the action of love is the communication of goodness. And that's what God is trying to do. God so loved the world that he gave to it. Well, first, God so loved the world that he gave to it in the beginning too. And then man turned away from what God gave. And God so loved the world that he found another way to give it back. And God so loved the world in Christ that he continually streams forth the beams of his goodness to all that will turn from badness, which again is self-will, own will, private, personal, me, mine, to turn to the fountain of goodness and to receive it and to walk in it. And so God is goodness. Goodness, the will to communicate goodness is the nature of God, and the communicating or giving of goodness is the love of God. And that, and understanding those things means for us that we can experience no goodness except by walking in his will. And this is where it starts to get a little closer to what you're going to do today. Because you can truly experience there's no goodness that you're going to find today apart from a careful staying in and watching towards the will of God. In other words, the moment in anything, in any way, in thought and desire and deed and act and pursuit, in lust and in anger in any way, you allow yourself voluntarily to depart from God's will, you are taking a step, maybe not a discernible step today, but you are taking a step into badness, into your own hurting of yourself, into your own disqualification. You're disqualifying yourself from the experience of some degree and some measure of badness, or from of goodness, and walking into badness. You see what I'm saying? So this is how creation fell. It turned from God, it turned from goodness, and by turning from the source, the streaming fountain of good, it turned to something else that it said was good. It said was a source of good. It says was pretty and beautiful and good for making man wise and good for making me like God or whatever. It turned from goodness to self, which it found very quickly to be not a source of goodness, even though it thought it was. It had a prettiness to it, but by reaching for the goodness of it in self instead of in God, it found what we always find every single day. It found badness. And it found it by, very simply, a departure from the careful walking in the stream of goodness, which is called the will or the love of God. Any step, I want you to think about the will of God like a river. And as long as you stay in that river, as long as you stay in it and let the current of his will be the boundaries of your life, think about that for a second. Let the current of his will be the boundaries of your life. And what you do and what you pursue and how you do it, there's a lot of things you can do in that river that are not going to take you out of the river or go a different way than when the river is flowing. But just as soon as in anything, in wicked thoughts and selfishness and pride and ambition and envy and lust and evil actions and disobedience to authorities, to parents, to anything you do that takes you out of the current, that river of goodness, you are taking 100% of the time, you are taking a clean, clear step into badness. And again, you may not feel the badness of that choice the moment you step out of that river. You may walk on in self-deception for a while, and the emotion that comes from self-deception, which is always there. I mean, everyone knows that the emotion, there's emotion that is attractive and exciting when it comes to reaching for self-will. It creates in you the temptation is far more exciting than the experience. Sin is always like that. You guys have all experienced that. Come on, think about it. The temptation is exciting. The possession of something outside the will of God is disappointing. It's unsatisfying. It's dirty. It's shameful. It makes you feel embarrassed, regretful, defensive. Makes you put up your dukes to fight for your right to do it or to have done it. It leaves you in this place where you're on your own in badness. And now you got to either keep being bad and defending it, or you got to get back in that river. Again. Just to present it to your hearts. There's no goodness apart from God. He's the source and substance of all goodness. He didn't create man to be a source of his own goodness apart from God. He created man to receive and to live in the goodness of God. God thanks to him, in his mercy, is a fountain of everlasting goodness that pours out towards man in every conceivable way. Man has the freedom either to live in that goodness and stay in that goodness, which is called staying in his will, which should be our food every day. My food, says Jesus, is the will of God. And even when I want my own will, fleshly will, like something, I don't think Jesus was hoping to have his own will and disgusting things like we are, but he was hoping to have his own will and things like not going to the cross and not shedding tears of or drops of blood before the cross, experiencing the separation of and the wrath of God for mankind. But still, he knew that the only cup that he could drink or should drink, the only safe cup to drink always, all the time, every day, in every moment, whether he was alone on the mountain praying all night, or whether he was sleeping on a boat, or whether he was healing the sick, or whatever he was doing, or whether he was living 30 years as a carpenter without anybody knowing him as the Son of God. The only thing he ever did, the only cup he ever wanted to drink, was the will of God. Why? Because the slightest step outside of the will of God would have brought him into badness, which would have, of course, disqualified him as our savior and ruined our entire redemption, but also would have separated him from his father. And so what did Jesus do? He lived in the will of God. He was careful. He watched for it. He looked for it. He stayed in it. He was very careful to avoid his own will in everything, even when he was bleeding and hanging from a cross, or when he was being whipped or being blindfolded and struck or rejected or misunderstood or mocked or whatever. He stayed in the will of God. And that is because man experiences no goodness except by walking in God's will, and experiences a whole lot of different forms of badness or disease, you could say. Well, what are diseases? There's a whole bunch of them. But aren't every single one of them just a departure from health? Right? There's health, which is when things are operating as they should in their created design. And then there's disease, and there's 50,000 different diseases. There's probably more than that. But every single one of them is a departure from health in one way or the other. And so what does man do? Well, what are the health books and the health podcasts and everything tell you how to do? How to not depart from health so that you won't walk into disease? Because disease is everywhere that health isn't. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, is that badness is everywhere that goodness isn't. And goodness is only in the will of God. Now, people hear this, and this is the part that really, this is kind of the thing that was mostly on my heart this morning about this. The application of this. Maybe you're already feeling or hopefully seeing something of the application of what I'm saying, but people hear this and they generally think that's true or that's neat. That's hard to argue against. That's biblical, you know? And then they spend the rest of the day entertaining themselves in their own will. See, that's where we need to work on things. That's where things get bad. Instead of carefully staying in his will, instead of being careful to not depart from that stream, to not get out of that current, to not get out of that and take a step into badness by taking a step into self. Because what is self? Self is just the departure from goodness. Do you see what I mean? That's all that's. What's wrong with self? It's not wrong to have a self. I mean, everyone's an individual person, and as far as I understand, we're going to always be an individual person forever. It's not the existence of self or of a individual creature that is bad or wrong in any way, but it's when that individual creature stops receiving its goodness from the source of goodness and tries to receive it in himself, from himself, for himself, by reaching for something outside of that current of goodness. The only place where you'll find righteousness, purity, truth, wisdom, love, humility. And so, like to try to maybe say, just what does this mean for my life? I can tell you what it means for my personal life. It means that, like, seeing these things and feeling them more and more to be true, not just believe in the fact of them, but actually kind of spending time thinking and meditating and praying about these things and asking the Lord, as I do every day, I think, to make these things as real in me as they are in Him. It has made me learn to live in a different way. It's actually changed how I live every day. It doesn't just change my beliefs. If it just changed my belief, it wouldn't change anything. I mean, if it was just a belief in my head, or something that I'd come to realize to be a reality, then I wouldn't be up here talking about it, and I probably wouldn't be here at all. But the fact that I've seen it and felt it to be true, and I've watched myself many times take steps out of the will of God into badness, and I've felt in various degrees, some greater, some lesser, the repercussions of walking outside of the will of God, and then had to find my way back into it with regret and some measure of pain and shame and guilt and dirt and disappointment. Because I've done that a bunch of times, a whole bunch of times. And because I've understood now that a moment by moment, hour by hour, and day by day, careful walking in the will of God, as Jesus did, whether that's to the will to say nothing or the will to say something. Whether that's the will to go somewhere or the will to say, no thanks, I'm not going to go there. Whether that's the will to be faithful in little things when nobody else will ever know what I did or why I did it, never, besides the one who is the will of God. It has made me want to stay in that will. And the reason I want to stay in that will isn't just because I want to be a radical Christian, or I have zeal, or because I don't know, because I'm religious, or because I am trying to, I don't know, whatever man's reasons for being religious are. No, the reason that I do it is because there's no goodness anywhere else, and I felt it. There's no peace for the wicked, period. There's no peace in the slightest step into wickedness. And wickedness is just one of those things that's on the banks of the river that isn't inside. And so I try now to stay in his will, because goodness is there, because love is there, because humility is there, because growth is there, because purpose is there, and because every form of badness is outside of it. And that's how I'm trying to live. And I have very, very much, I have room for improvement, but I want it. And I feel it becoming more and more of a constraining in me, a cautious way of life in me. And finding that if you just would stay in the river of goodness and not ever unite your will with any of the streams that go out, or the poles, or the whatever, I don't know what this compare them to in an analogy, but the things that the temptations, you know, that's what a temptation is. Every temptation is just the thing that makes it a temptation is something presenting itself to you that will take you out of the will of God. Every temptation is the same. Blessed is the man, says James, who resists temptation. Why? Because he's going to find himself in the will of God. If you resist temptation, what's a temptation? Well, he says, it's when lusts, or what's the word he uses? Is it desires? Present themselves to man. And when man unites with those desires, then the two coming together have a baby. And that baby is called sin. The will of man and something outside of the will of God come together in a thought, in a desire, in an action, in a pastime, in a pursuit, in a movie, in whatever. The heart of man, the will of man, unites with something outside of the will of God, joins to it, and then there is an offspring. And that offspring, he says, is called sin. And that sin, like any offspring, is hungry, and it feeds, and it grows. And when it's fully grown, James says, its name is death. You see what James is saying there? So what's a temptation? Again, review. A temptation is anything that presents itself because of the fleshly bodies we're in, because of the fallen world we live in, because of the sinful nature that's in us. It presents itself, and its one goal, the only thing it has to do, the only thing it had to do with Adam and Eve in the garden, is to find a way to take you out of the will of God. Because once it gets you out, it doesn't matter how it does it. It doesn't matter what the temptation is. Because just as soon as it can get you outside of the will of God, it's got you into badness. And badness is going to have a child. And that child is going to grow. And if you don't cast that child out together with its mother and get yourself right back into the will of God, then that thing is going to keep growing in you and multiplying and make itself into a nation in your own heart. And that, my friends, is the condition of man in this fallen world. And the solution to that problem, I only see one. I only see one solution. And that solution is a careful, self-denying abiding in the will of God. A careful, because here's the thing. Walking in his will, especially when we first start trying to do it all the time, is going to mean that we have to deny the wills in us that appear that are contrary to his. I say wills on purpose because there's a variety of different kinds of wills. The desires of the eyes, desires of the flesh, whatever. That's the only way that I know to stay in a place of safety and also to stay in a place of growth. Because if you just stay in that place of that's called the will of God, there's a verse that says the will of God is our sanctification. That doesn't just mean that he wants us to be sanctified. It also means, I believe, that staying in his will is our sanctification. In other words, if we walk in his will be sanctified. Abiding in that will, living in that will, we will be experiencing sanctification. I think that's maybe all I have.